Welcome to Sheep and Shepherds, a weekly conversation by a group of church elders who are concerned with the well-being of the people in their local congregation, Church of the Open Door of Leavenworth, Kansas. Let's join the conversation.
Welcome back to Sheep and Shepherds. This is Pastor Damien Efta at Church of the Open Door, and Pastor Jay Licky from Open Door Fellowship, and Alex Elliott, one of our members here at the church. And we're talking about the 20-somethings age and just kind of generational kind of guidance, advice, counsel, observations of how to do that age well as a believer. You know, most everybody gets smarter as they grow older. I mean, it's just part of it. The truly great get smart quick. The normal person takes time. And so for those who can foresee and cut off at the pass the distractions and get to it, usually do greater things than those who kind of have to learn through time. So the purpose of this type of a conversation is to help those people, or in this case, young people, maybe avoid some stereotypical distractions, hurdles, and obstacles to a vibrant, faithful Christian life. So, in that note, Jay, I know you came with a couple of thoughts in mind. Why don't you give us another one of your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll play right off of what you mentioned right there. You know, I think what you were even just talking about there of learning quick and getting on the right path. I mean, essentially, that's kind of a summary statement about the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
I mean, that mm-hmm. is the father to the son. Listen and watch and learn, and I'm going to pour this into you. You know, that is the young man's job, really, is to just be receiving that and hearing and listening and learning. And so, obviously, being in the book of Proverbs, and I would say one of those proverbs that's going to just grow that all the more is that call for multiple counselors. You know, and there's safety in an abundance of counselors. And to get around you godly men of various age and generation that are walking in the truth and know it, you are going to have so much at your disposal there. You've got wisdom, you've got experience, you're going to have protection because people are going to be looking and in your life. They're gonna be able to challenge you in appropriate ways, and you know they're growing as well, obviously. But to have a number of them is gonna be able to receive the strengths of others and downplay the weaknesses that we all have, and man, I really call you to that to have disciplers in your life, you know, men who are going to be a part of your life and where you're opening your life to them. And, you know, they're in a sense doing the book of Proverbs and moving you along in it in real ways. That will be a huge blessing, and you will move much quicker and go further with something like that. So, yeah.
You know, and with that issue of counselors too, it's a great point. And maybe to put some shoe leather on it. I mean, counselors themselves are not profitable, and I think of Rehoboam, you know, the classic example. Rehoboam, who was told by the son of Solomon, who was told by most of the nation, you got to lighten the load, and he went and talked to the elders, council of the elders. They said, hey, you need to listen. Went and talked to the young men, he said, his peers, and they said, hey, don't pay any attention to them at all. The whole, you know, gist of the story is that was reckless foolishness, that he rejected the counsel of the elders. As a matter of fact, the scripture just says that. He rejected the counsel of the elders, and the whole thing splits down the middle. So, and I liked what Jay said about having counselors of different ages, and I think it would be good to say that for every counselor you have, and counselor meaning somebody who I'm going to listen to their advice.
Yeah, I just as a word, I wasn't really meaning that in a technical sense. I was just talking, you know, we're receiving counsel from everybody.
Yeah,
this
right.
is kind of the
yeah,
Romans 15. You right. all are competent to counsel. I mean, this is just the Christian speaking truth to one to another.
Somebody I go to for advice on things in my life. Yeah, exactly. But for everyone that a guy may have at the age in which he lives, and this is probably true for all of us, but I think especially true for your age, Alex, for every 20-year-old or 20-something guy that you listen to what he says, you should probably have two guys who are in their 40s and maybe four or five who are even older than their 40s. In other words, you need to weight your counselors in the sense of you know, you need to have more that are further down the road. Godly is the key instance, like you mentioned, Jay. You got to be godly people, not just any people. But you need to weight them to have age. Not solely. I think sometimes it's nice to have a guy who's going through the same things you are, maybe like you would be to another guy your age who would say, you know, I look at Alex, he's doing it well. Alex, how do I do this young baby thing well? And so there's a real value in that. But if all of your counselors are that, then you miss as much or maybe more than you even get. And so to weight those guys in our lives. Yeah. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
You know, there's a lot of voices out there, and you know, just who should you listen to? Right. There's going to be, you know, a dozen young guys on TikTok or Spotify that are, you know, selling you some better yourself scheme or get rich quick scheme or something like that. And then there's, you know, the men in your life who know you personally, who care about you, and who are typically older than you, hopefully older than you, and know a lot more than you. You know, who should you listen to? Obviously. The people who know you, just pay attention to that. You know, I would say, you know, all the voices that are out there, you know, you're listening to all that. So just fill your time, fill your, you know, the people that you get recommendations from, the people you get advice from, like you were saying, just make sure you vetted them, basically, you know, make sure they are, you know, older than you. And actually know you. I don't know. I just see that a lot. You know, there's just tons of, you know, podcasts like this are huge. And there's still a lot of young guys I talk to, you know, mention the people that they are listening to, and it just be careful with that. Make sure you're getting it from a good place.
So I think I'd like to connect some of these things here for another point that's pretty closely related to these. I mean, we're talking about having some guys around, have men in various ages around you that your life is really, you know, open to and connected with. We're talking about having a number of older ones. You're talking about vetting, in a sense, of, you know, these are guys that are true. They're worthy to listen to. Where are you going to get all of that? I mean, there's difficulties in all of that, because how are you going to be finding all these older guys, and how do you know if you're really vetting them well and not just getting what you want?
That's a great question.
And I think all of this in my mind is answered by saying healthy church life and involvement. And we've already brought that up in the previous episode of a trend and of moving away from the church, redefining the church to, you know, this is my group that we get together, and that's my church.
I sit in the coffee shop, and we do this via Zoom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of that, I mean, the church is not a mystery. The scripture lays out what a church is, what it is supposed to be doing, the authority of it, and how it is delegated and given. And so all of that's defined, and all those other, you know, your coffee house group, is not qualified as a church. You know, your small group is not qualified. And so a healthy church where all this is happening, you know, the word is preached, qualified leadership, the ordinances understood and done, and biblical teaching, discipleship. You're going to be able to get all these things we were just talking about. How are you going to vet these guys? Well, in a healthy church, the godly men are recognized and known.
Yeah, the church vets. Church almost vets itself.
That's
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. They are recognized and seen and put into leadership positions. Where are you going to find all these older guys? I mean, well, they're ready-made right there at the church. They've been in the church for years, and there they are. And so to pull away from all of that is to be getting outside the sheepfold. It is on the other side of the fence, and there's this grave danger there. The church is where protections are. There's authority to deal with sin. There is teaching that has been is being checked and applied. So,
you know one thing with this and forever, at least in all of my life, clearly, we have always said that, well, you know, we say this about the younger generation today. Well, they're not organizational, they're relational. We said that 10 years about the generation before, and 10 years before that. And when you were 20s, it was like everybody was saying, well, this new generation, the Generation Xers, I'm not sure which one, they're not organizational, they're relational. They said that about me and my generation. Well, you know, these guys aren't organizational. We've said that always. And I think that's one of these things that is really, it's not generational at all, it's age-related. Everybody always thinks that young people aren't organizational, and they think themselves they're not. Yeah, that's right. We are more relational. We're not into organ. And the fact of the matter is, as you grow up, you realize that doesn't cut it. All right, there is strength in there is strength in the church. It was organized for a reason, you know.
God has got out of order.
So you have to grow into realizing that's important. And it is often used as a reason to jettison the church by the young, and whether it's the young generation of 2020, they'll be saying this in 2040. The pundits will be saying, well, these young people, they're just not, you know, they're more relational, and we've got to kind of, and they're right, and so it's just never going to end. At least it hasn't ended, you know, for a long, long time.
Well, it's, I mean, and you'll hear it, I don't hate Christianity, I just hate organized religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Christianity, the Bible very clearly organizes the church. It's organized, and it's that way because the Bible, yeah, you know, deems it to be that way. On that.
So that's right. So let me throw one in. Were you done with that one, Jay?
I would, just as a maybe a capping phrase, I would say, the church is more important than you realize. It's more fragile than we realize.
Yeah,
it's more resilient than we realize. Uh-huh. And it's a place of more growth than you realize.
That's great. Those are great points.
And and I think, you know, each one of those can be kind of, you know, spoken on, but it's just you know, Christ is with his people. The Spirit of God is at work there. So just of vital importance, especially for a generation that does seem to be moving away, and that's probably always going to happen. But, you know, so
I just remember what I was going to say.
Okay,
sorry.
Go ahead.
One thing you don't get from the guys on TikTok and the guys on Spotify and whatever else, you don't get accountability. Okay, that's the other factor that you get from, you know, a mentor or somebody in the church. They're going to ask you, you know, whenever you ask them for advice on something, they're going to ask you later how that went, you know, or they're going to ask you why you haven't been to church in a month, or, you know, things like that. And that's probably part of what scares people away from it. We don't like accountability. We like to, you know, just do whatever we want and have an excuse as to why we thought it was the best way to do it and have nobody come and tell us otherwise. So anyway.
So let me throw another one out, and this is probably not unique. Maybe it's a little bit extra unique, or extra appropriate at this point. And it's not near as spiritual as what Jay said, but I think it's worth to discuss. A suggestion to, when you hit your 20s, this is the way I wrote it down, to dive into the adult life in the sense of responsibilities. Too many guys nowadays seems to be in their 20s, and their 20s seems to be, if not teenage years, part two, it's at least college years that go way past my late teens, 18, 19, and 20, into my whatever. And they're footloose, fancy free, party time. It's my friends, it's my group, it's my fun. And it's like, you know, you're wasting 10 years of your life by not embracing adult responsibilities. And don't do that. You're going to look back later and say, what a waste of 10 years, you know, when I could have been. And by adult responsibilities, it may mean, and I don't mean adult living. You say, well, I am living like an adult. I live in my own place. I go my own time. I do my own thing. I don't live with mom and dad. I mean, that's all good. But I'm talking about adult responsibilities of working in a job that is a serious means, a vocation for your life. I talk about getting married, you know, and raising children. You and Olivia are a great example of that. You turned into your adult life and you got married, and you maybe don't attribute this to it, but I think it's fair to say that as I see, people who marry young mature young. People who marry late mature late, and that's just, I say, well, what is it? I have to go and get married. I know that's going to cost lots. I mean, people, all kinds. I know this. I hear this all the time. It's true. And we want to. I think sometimes we want to live, especially now. People are living older and older and older, kind of single, footloose, fancy free. And not settling down to the responsibilities of adult life. You're only going to have, what, from 20 to 70, 50 years, 50 years of good, you know, maybe 8, 60, maybe 70. But we have a limited time. You know, put, again, maybe back to when I was a child, I did the things of a child. When I was an adult, I took adult, and I think the key issue is responsibilities, not adult privileges, but I started living as an adult, responsible adult.
You know, as a focus to kind of responsibility, I mean, you can think of financial responsibility and a vocational responsibility, and those are there and important, and it's a key part of it. To maybe bring another focus to this is maybe to play off of, I think it's the kind of a little motto from Appalachian Bible College, which is a good one, is life is for service. You know, if you bend your life to serve, to give to others, to pour into others' lives, that's going to move you towards responsibility, because you don't want to be hurting people. You don't want to lead them in the wrong way. You don't want to give them, you know, fluff and nothing good. You want to pour into them that which is weighty and true and eternal. And so here we're talking, you know, we're talking discipleship in all its different forms, to your wife and to your children, to the younger men in your life, the people in your church. If you're going to be pouring into them, i.e. discipleship, well, you got to have something to pour. So you need to be growing in the truth, and you need to, you know, learn about real life and the work that it's going to require, and all the issues that arise and how do you deal with those in biblical ways. I mean, that's if you are going to serve and give, you're going to have that kind of responsibility that I think we're talking about.
You know, and let me give it maybe and somewhat like, but an example. You know, the idea of a bucket list, right? I mean, for years, a bucket list was something all men had. They said, you know, I'm about to die. There's a couple things I've always kind of wanted to do, and I haven't done it, so they're in my bucket list. I want to do it before I kick the bucket. Now 20-year-olds are creating their bucket list and setting about handling all of their bucket lists. And bucket lists are by nature not the important things of life. They're just that would have been kind of fun, but never really got a chance to do it. And that kind of defines these years. I am out not to serve, like you were saying, Jay, but I'm out to kind of do all the things I want to do before I have to settle down and be responsible like an adult. It's like, no, you got it all backwards. Settle down, be responsible as an adult, do the things of an adult. You know, some of those things will come to your life along the way. You may get a chance to fall out of an airplane, but if you do, that's great. If you don't, who cares?
Yeah, that's a big thing right now is just doing it now. Because, you know, kids are just going to slow me down, weigh me down. Wife's just going to slow me down, weigh me down. I want to have fun, do it all right now. And then when I'm old, you know, then I'll have kids.
YOLO. YOLO, right? Yeah. You only live once. What that is bad eschatology. No, if you're a believer, you are going to live
even forever. If you're an unbeliever, you're going to live forever.
Well, that's right. But as a believer... You know, I believe there's a millennium that you're going to get to do incredible things at. Man, it's going to be way better than anything you're going to do now. So get your eschatology right and get to business, get business servant level.
I think it does a disservice to, you know, being a parent, being a husband, being a mentor, a leader in the church. I mean, these things are, there is nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing more important. You know, going off and having quote unquote fun. You know, exploring the world, you know, going out to Power and Light on Saturday night, you know, whatever it is, that's not going to lead a fulfilled life. That's not going to lead a good life. And we talked about video games earlier, last episode. I mentioned, you know, that should be the first thing to go whenever you're an adult and you need to be devoting your time to better things, like Jay said, better things, you know, service to others. Nothing will make you care about other people more than having kids. I cannot tell you. I didn't like kids before I had kids, really. I wasn't, you know, having kids has made me a better Awana leader. It just has made me care more about everyone else in general. I mean, it just does. Because you realize, like, these are people that we need to invest into, and you think about investing in your own kids, and then you realize you can do that with everyone. You can invest in everyone, and it's amazing the return you get from that. But anyway, on top of that, what you talked about, you know, moving on to adult things, putting off childish things, fill your time. You know, we mentioned as you get older, you get smarter. What are you learning? What are you learning right now? You know, you get to your 20s, you're done with school, you're done with college. Great, I don't have to study anymore. I don't have to take any tests anymore. I can be done with education for the rest of my life. Don't do that. Pick up a book, you know, go talk to your pastor, find a good book, just a friend, you know, ask them what they're reading and keep learning. That's a huge disservice. And if you think you're learning things on TikTok and YouTube, I mean, you are, but it's nothing worthwhile. You're learning just frivolous little, you know, life hacks and stupid junk like that. You need to learn how to be a better man, how to be a better father, how to be a leader in your family, a leader in the church, things like that. It's just a challenge, I guess.
I have a feeling that we need to wrap this one up, and we're going to continue this conversation. Who knows? We may have so many things to talk about. We'll be talking until Alex is 30 years old. but again, for Sheep and Shepherds, thanks for joining us. Please come back on our next episode. Goodbye.